Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So the message that I'm going to preach to you today is truth, and it flies in the face of modern-day prosperity gospel, the gospel that is joyfully proclaimed by many TV preachers and evangelists, including the one with the Botox smile who lives in Houston. It's a gospel that says if you love the Lord enough and if you do the right thing, you will have a prosperous life. If you give enough to the church and you give enough to your fellow mankind, your life will go well, and tomorrow's the best day of your life. Do you see the smile? It's false. It's a message from Satan, because that's not true Christianity. Because in reality, you and I know that Christians suffer. St. Paul writes his letter to us today from prison. The writer of the hymn we just sang has a phenomenal story. He was in Chicago during the Great Fire and lost a child. So he sent his wife and two daughters on ahead of him back to London, thinking he'd hightail it out of the United States, and he would come after resolving all his matters in Chicago. On the way to London, the ship that his wife and two daughters were on sank, and they died. As he traveled back to London, he asked the captain to stop over the place where that ship had sunk. Nobody knew why he did it. He began to pray, and he penned the hymn we just sang. Even so, it is well with my soul. You see, suffering is part of the Christian life. It's not the best advertisement for Christianity. I mean, I don't like to go out and say, hi, you're not a Christian. Come sign up. Sign this dotted line, and by the way, you're going to suffer. It doesn't work very well. But it is part of the Christian life, and we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about why do bad things happen to good people? Why do you have to suffer? Why do I have to suffer? Why is life in this world so hard sometimes? And I know people say, oh, those questions can't be answered, but they are answered very plainly in Scripture. And today we're going to focus in on that and take a little bit of journey through these exact questions, and I hope that you grow in your faith. The end point, the focus, and the end of the sermon, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you, is the words from St. Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Jesus has said in John chapter 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It always baffles my mind when Christians hear that and still yet they get surprised when bad things happen to them. It baffles my mind when prosperity preachers get up and they preach these things and they take this passage of Scripture and they throw it out because people don't want to hear it. Their itching ears want to hear that their life's going to be well. I have to chuckle every time I'm at my police academy and some of the other denominations get up and they start praying, Lord, we will prosper. Lord, make us great people. Lord, give us everything that we desire and we want in this life so that we can prosper, Lord. And they keep on with this prayer. The reality is, God doesn't work that way. He doesn't give us everything we want. And then, you know, they'll say this one, and I never have figured this one out. Lord, just pour out your supernatural powers into our life, and our lives will be perfect. And I always laugh under my breath. Someday they're going to see me laughing. I hope not. Because Jesus says, you're going to have trouble. You see, the reality we know this is that Jesus had trouble. He had troubles when he lived in this world. He was tempted by Satan like you and I are tempted, but he didn't sin. Jesus had trouble in this world. He had sleepless nights. He had long prayers, prayers where he would sweat blood, prayers of torment from his heart. Jesus had trouble in this world as he was mocked and tried by the Pharisees and the good Jewish ruling people, beaten by Pontius Pilate. Sentenced to death on a cross, nailed to a tree, shedding his blood for you and for me. Jesus had trouble in this world. And if we think it's going to be any different, we've got another thing coming. Because the reality is, Jesus also says, take up your cross and follow me. And if Jesus' cross led to suffering and death, guess what? Our cross will lead to suffering and death too. That's the reality of being a Christian. The reality of being a Christian is that we will have problems in this world. If you've not, just wait a little bit. It will come. I promise you. It will happen. But the great words of Jesus is this: I've come to give you peace. I've come to give you peace and to let you know that I am with you and I've overcome this world, which gives us great hope. And we're going to talk about that hope in a little bit, because even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of the trials and the burdens and all the stresses and bad things we go through, Jesus is still by our side, uplifting us, upholding us, forgiving us, pouring in his grace into our lives, which gives us the endurance to get through whatever it is we are going through in life. And it also does give us times of peace. We do have good times. We do. We do have abundant times and times of prosperity, because God does want us to have those. But mixed in with those are the times where we will suffer too. Satan does not have to attack the unbeliever. The answer to why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the answer is pretty simple. Satan doesn't have to attack the unbeliever. He already has them in his grasp. But the moment we come to Christ, guess what happens? A big target's put on our back. And Satan says, I'm going to get you. I'm going to do my best. St. Peter says, watch out. Satan is what? What does he say? He is a what? Roaring lion looking for someone to devour. If you read the book of Job, the whole book of Job is just this point. Satan will do the best he can to try to tear us away from Christ. That's why it's so important that we come to church. That's why it's so important we remain in the Word. That's why it's so important that we pray. That's why it's so important that we have the sacraments. And I hope someday we get to have the sacraments every Sunday, because it's crucial to our existence and faith life in this world that we stay connected to Jesus and his gospel and his grace any way we can, without any doubt, without any hindrance. Because it's being connected in his grace that gets us through these trials and the fiery darts that come our way. And remember the sermon I preached a few weeks ago. You have the power of Jesus' name to command Satan to get behind you. And he will get behind you, because he flees at the name of Jesus. Our suffering leads to witness of the gospel and great blessings for us. Listen to these passages. Job says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be his name. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Our suffering leads to the witness of the gospel and great blessings for us. You see, it's when we suffer, as we go through the trials and the peace of Jesus, as we show the world that we do not suffer as the rest of the world does, people come to us, and this is what happens. They say immediately, I want what you have. How are you getting through this? Because it's a witness. As Job stood up amongst his friends and his family and says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, and the Lord did take away. Satan took away a lot from him. God allowed that to happen. He said, still, blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty. Our lives become a witness. I remember as Samantha was dying through that process for Samantha, our daughter, Stephanie and I tried to be very transparent. So we posted a lot on Facebook, and we started a caring bridge, and people eventually from all around the world, this is the most amazing thing that I've ever seen in my life, people from all around the world we didn't even know were following our daughter's story. All around the world. And we have comments still that come in every once in a while to this day. I'll get an email, or somebody will post something or whatever that says, it's because of your daughter's story that I believe in Jesus. It's because of your daughter's story that I went back to church. It's because of your daughter's story that I'm going to go to heaven. You see, that's the peace of God that passes understanding. That's the hope and the confidence that we know that even when we go through trials and hardships in life, joy and eternal life are right there around the corner, springing forth out of our hearts and our souls, so that people may see and know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We learn from the book of Job that suffering in our lives keeps us focused on Jesus and growing in our relationship with him. We learn from the book of Job that suffering in our lives keeps us focused on Jesus and growing in our relationship with him. Now, this is crucial. Martin Luther says, as we've studied before, that the reason these trials and temptations come into our life is it keeps us focused on Jesus. It keeps us focused on the cross, from where our salvation comes from. If our lives were all prosperity, if our lives were all perfect, we would lose our need for Jesus. We wouldn't need him anymore, because everything would be great. Who needs Jesus when everything's perfect? As my grandma used to say, we'd get too big for our britches if it weren't for the fact that we would have trials and temptations in our lives. And this is the reality. Luther has talked about, we've talked about before, his three foundations to theology, which is oratio, meditatio, and tentatio. Oratio, which means speaking, prayer. Meditatio, which means meditation, study of God's word. And tentatio, which means temptation or struggle. That's where life happens. And life happens when oratio, prayer, and meditatio, study of God's word, meets in temptation, and we as Christians, through the grace of God, working in his word, are able to walk this life with our heads held high, in the hope and the grace and the love of Jesus, because Jesus is with us and he's won our victory. St. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Lord, help me to be weak so that you are strong. You remember the children's song? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. As I said, the end point, the focus of this message is the word of St. Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Our whole existence in this world, our very being and all our experiences are all to point the world to Jesus. The reason we exist, the reason we have our being, the reason we are placed in this world is so that the world may see Jesus in us. It goes back to what we've talked about before, the Missio Dei, the mission of God, that all people come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and be saved. The very reason we are here is to be the hands and the mouth and the feet of Jesus in our world. The very reason troubles and hardships come into our life is so that people may see Jesus working in us. The very reason joys and praise and thanksgiving come into our lives and hope is so that people may see Jesus in us. This is the reality of the Christian life. It is one of suffering, but one of great blessing and joy. Suffering indeed in the light of hope. Suffering indeed in the light of eternal salvation. Suffering indeed in the light of knowing, as St. Paul says, I will die and live eternally in perfection with Jesus. As we live in this world, Christ is with us and he is in us. He promises to be our shepherd. He promises to walk by our side. He promises to lead us faithfully. He promises to love us. He promises to pour his grace into our lives. He promises to not leave us nor forsake us. He promises us his peace. He promises that nothing will snatch us from the palm and grasp of his hand, because that's the Jesus we have. When we suffer, he is with us, walking in our suffering. When we have joy, he's with us, walking in our joy. When we have mourning, he's with us, walking in our mourning. When we have praise, he's with us, walking in our praise. Because this is the kind of God we have. And there are plain times in our life, as the Footprints poem says, that there are times when we are not even walking, but the Lord Jesus carries us through all fiery temptations and trials. And even still yet, as the sea billows roll, it is well with my soul. We know that through our suffering, we are being made into the image of Christ. You see, that's what sanctification is. My advanced class, once again, what is sanctification? Very good advanced class. The process of becoming holy, right? Being set apart. And this process begins at baptism. It doesn't end until we die, when we are truly made holy and perfect. But the whole point of this is to be made into Jesus Christ and his likeness. To be made into his person. To be made into his hands and his feet. Celebrating in the forgiveness he gives us in eternal life he has won for us so that this world may be saved. It's a tough world out there. There's storms and earthquakes and lobbing nuclear missiles around us. even in the midst of this, we remain faithful and firm in the foundation that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we, through the witness of the gospel message that has been given to us that we live in every day, we have the power to change the world one heart and one life at a time. The journey we take causes great hope to grow in us as we await the day we will see Jesus face to face. Listen to what St. Paul said in the lesson for today. I'm stuck. I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. I want to be with you so I can continue to witness to you and share the gospel with you. I understand this. I love being your pastor, and I want to be here to teach you the gospel, but I'm sorry, brothers and sisters in Jesus, I also want to be in heaven. And I'm ready for it. If it happens today, fantastic. The world was supposed to end yesterday. I'm really mad it didn't. But anyways, I was kind of disappointed that those people got the prediction wrong. But anyways, the reality is, I understand that. I hope you do too. And if you don't, you will get to the place in your life where living in this world, you will find joy in being here, but great joy in knowing that you long for heaven, that you long for the day that you will be with Jesus face to face. No more suffering, no more trials, no more temptations, no more wily Satan, no more sickness, no more illness, no more imperfection, but great and wonderful and abundant, perfect peace and joy and everlasting life. And finally, the words of St. Paul in Romans chapter 8 come to mind. And in the midst of our message for today, they are fitting and true. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Listen to these words and let them soak in. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In his name, amen.